Today's Shem Sechta Shabbos Daf Chav Tes. We will begin on Daf Chav Tes Amar Aleph at the third line, Rava Amar. Yesterday we began learning a Mishnah which quoted a double machlaikis of Rebbe Lezer and Rebbe Kiva. It spoke about a piece of material that was folded but not cinched. And Rebbe Lezer said that it's Mekabel Tuma and it cannot be used as the wick for Shabbos candle, and Rebbe Kiva said it's not Mekabel Tuma and it can be used. And the Gemara explained, Rav Ada Bar Hava explained, that the machlokes was that is folding a piece of material make it that it's not considered a piece of material anymore. Rebbe Lezer held that it doesn't, and therefore, since it's still considered a regular piece of material, it's Mekabel Tuma. Rebbe Kiva, on the other hand, held that folding it does make it that it's not considered a regular beged anymore. And the other machlokes was regarding how do we look at a shever keli? If we look at something that gets broken on yontif, is it muks or not? And everybody agrees that it is like Rebbe Yehuda, that a shever keli is noilad. It's something new that wasn't here before. And therefore, it's muksa. And therefore, since according to Rebbe Kiva, the folding made that it wasn't a beged, so I'm not breaking something which is whole. And therefore, it's not considered that it became a new object on yontif. And therefore, even though it's partially burnt, that didn't change its status. It was a shever keli before, and it's a shever keli now. And there's no noila, there's no muksa, there's no problem in using it and burning it. Whereas Rebbe Lezer held that it was a full-fledged beged till I began burning it. When I began burning it, it became a shever keli, but I still need to continue lighting it, and I may not, because I may not work with muksa. That was the first explanation of this machlokes. Rava comes with a new explanation. He says, Hanatama de Rebbe Lezer. The reason Rebbe Lezer holds you shouldn't use such a material for Shabbos wick, lefish ein madlikim p'sila shenem charaches. You shouldn't use a material that wasn't previously singed for Shabbos candles. Nor may you not use rags that were not previously singed for Shabbos candles shenem charachim, because they won't burn properly. And as a recurring theme of this parak is that we want your candles to burn properly on Shabbos because we're worried about Shemayata, we're worried that you shouldn't leave the table. So therefore, if it wasn't previously singed, you can't use it. Says the Gemara, El Hodotan Rabbi Yossi, but according to this, Shalosh HaShalosh Mutzumtzamis, we quoted in the previous year that there was a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Sholosh HaSholosh Mutzumtzamis. There's a Mishnah that says the word Sholosh HaSholosh Mutzumtzamis V'lo Yedana L'mai Hilchasa. So according to the previous explanation, we understood why that Mishnah is teaching us. The Mishnah was coming to teach us is this beged that's exactly three etzpos by three etzpos that's folded still considered a beged or not. But according to this explanation, that it has to do with if you have to previously burn the piece of wick that you want to use for your candles or not, what does that have to do with this Mishnah? So where does the statement of Sholosh HaSholosh Mutzumtzamis that a Mishnah made, an ambiguous statement, where is the halachic nafkamina? Answers, Gemara Linya Tanya, the Tanya, Sholosh HaSholosh Amru, whenever we spoke in our parak and other places, that in order for something to be Mekabel Tuma, it has to be three etzbos by three etzbos. What is a piece of material that's just three etzbos by three etzbos usable for? It's usable as a patch. But what they commonly did when they used something for a patch is that they would make a rim, a hem around it. And that hem is called a malal. The reason they made a hem around it is because otherwise it wouldn't connect well to what you're trying to patch. So the Mishnah says, Sholosh Sholosh Omru, whenever we speak about Sholosh Sholosh, Chutz Min HaMelel, it's without the hem. That means you have to have three etzbos by three etzbos, plus the space of the hem. Divrei Reb Shimon, V'chamayim Sholosh Sholosh M'chufonis, any three etzbos by three etzbos is enough that it should be Mekabel Tuma. So in other words, what we're up to now is, the Machlaikis in our Mishnah regarding Hilchos Shabbos is regarding the usability of a wick that wasn't pre-burnt. The question regarding Tuma, Rava doesn't address. And the statement of Sholosh Sholosh, we understand, has to do with how to determine the size of three etzbos by three etzbos. Is the hem included or not? So here, Taisa speaks about the minig that many people have, that they singe the candles before they use them to light on Shabbos. Says Taisus, the end of the Tap Taisus, so nearly the Bechinim Nogu at Noshim, Lahalika Psilu Chabaisa, it's not necessary that people put on the candle and then extinguish it. Kadesh Tim Mehevis, then Allah Rebbe Lezer. Who's the man that Amen our Mishnah says that you need to do it? Rebbe Lezer. And throughout Shas, we know Rebbe Lezer is a Shemutihi. Rebbe Lezer represents the opinion of Beis Shammai. The halacha isn't followed the opinion of Beis Shammai. V'ayr Amiril Kamon, hoch b'psil shetzrich alav v'skinen, mashma, the there, only under certain circumstances does the wick require pre-singeing. Mashma, the yochel hadlik, abishen muvevah. So Taisus paskins that there's no reason to pre-light the candles. However, the Torah says that even though it's not necessary to do it, still, the minig is to do it, because when you do it, it lights brighter. And the Mishnah Brura in Siman Reish Samach Dalid, Sifkot Nechav Ches, says that it should be the job of the husband to do it, to make it easier that when his wife comes to light the Shabbos candles, she should be able to light them quickly, properly. And in fact, I saw that it's very interesting, whenever the Mishnah speaks about women being obligated to light the candles, it says that the women do the hadlokas on there. Why does it always say that the women do the hadlokas on there? Of course, what do you do with a candle? You light it. So I saw that the Mefarshim want to suggest, because the mitzvah of the hadloka, of the lighting, that is indeed the din that applies to a woman. But the actual preparation, that's the husband's job. So as we said in our introduction, as we learned in our previous year, Rabbi Yehuda's demand the Omer that says that there's a concern of Noilad. Noilad means that if something came into existence on Shabbos, the halacha is that such a article is muksa. And therefore we learned, Omer Yehuda Barav, Masikim Bishkalim, you could use a whole keli to burn on Shabbos, because that is not muksa, obviously. Vei masik b'shivrei kelim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rav Shimon matir. Because Rav Shimon is always the one that has a much less restrictive application of muksa, and therefore Rav Shimon doesn't hold of noilet. Another halacha, masikim b'tmarim, you could use dates to fuel a fire on Yontif. Avol ei masikim b'gareneim, the pits that came out are osur, because they're noilad, they weren't here before. They were Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon Matir. Masikim ba'agoizim, you may use nuts to fuel a fire, achlon, but if you ate the nuts, e masikim b'kliposayim, you can't use the shells. Again, because the shells weren't usable before Yontif, Rabbi Shimon Matir. So now the question, of course, is, why does the Gemara have to give us three examples of the same concept that Rav Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda disagree over the concept of noilet? But the Goyas Mordechai asks, how can we use kalim for burning? Isn't there an Isser Stira? So says the Gra, that when the Isser Stira is only when you break something by your dayim. Here you're not breaking this kalim, be yadayim. What you're doing is you're throwing the keli into the fire and then it'll get broken. That isn't considered the melachas stira. So why are the shells considered noilet? The shell was there before, and now all you did was crack the nut, take out the nut, and you have the shell left. So why is that considered noilet? So the Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis explains, originally the purpose of the shell is to protect the freshness of the nut. So they're considered connected and part of the nut. When you break the nut and you take out the nut and you're left with the shell, so now it's just shell. That's a new creation. It's not something that's connected to the nut. It's an independent creation called klipos. And that's why there's an issue of Neulin on that. So as we said, that the question is, why do we have to have three examples to teach us the exact same machlokes or Yehuda Reb Shimon, that Reb Yehuda subscribes to Neulin and Reb Shimon doesn't? V'tzricha, the Yeshmin and Kamaisa, if we only would have learned the halacha by the broken keli, but he come Reb Yehuda. There we understand Reb Yehuda's opinion very well. Mishum the Mikara keli, you started with a full-fledged keli, v'hashta sheva keli, and now it's a broken keli. And that's why we could understand why Sheva Keli is considered a new entity in the world. Ava Tamarim, when we speak about the pits, the Mikara Greenin, originally they were pits, Vahashta Greenin, nothing changed. Amishapadami, it should not be considered Noilat. Vyashmin and Greenin, and if we only had the case of pits, Hamin and Mikara Machasian, originally the pits were invisible, Vahashta Megalian, now the pits are visible. That's why I could understand why the pits are considered something new that came into the world. Ava Klipe Goizen, when we speak about the nutshells, the Mikara Magla, Vahashta Megla, you saw the you were able to see the shells prior to breaking the nut, and now you can see the shell after. Nothing really changed. Amishapadami, maybe everybody will agree that that is not considered noilet. That's why tzricha. So of course the question is, so Rabbi Yehuda should have just told us the case by nuts, and if by the case of nuts, the halach is that it's considered noilet, then all the other cases are certainly noilet. So Ritva says that it's loizu afsu. You're right. Rabbi Yehuda could have just told us this case, and the other cases we would have learned from them. But that, of course, is not a great teretz. So he suggests another teretz. He says, if Rabbi Yehuda would have said his halacha only by klipos, I would say, since the klipos are such a difficult case of noilad, because as we keep on repeating, you could have seen the shell before, and you see the shell now. So that's why maybe over there, if Shimon doesn't agree that it should be considered noilad. But by the case of Garinon, by the pits, which weren't visible, or by the broken keli, which is an entirely new keli, there may be a new entity. Broken keli is not a complete keli. Maybe there, if Shimon will agree with Rabbi Yehuda, teaches us that when Rabbi Yehuda is always machmer, and Rabbi Shimon is always makel. The Hadarav comments the Gemara. This, that what Rabbi Yehuda said regarding that green to Miarim, Laba Feirish Itma, Rav didn't say this explicitly to Rabbi Yehuda, El Mechlola Itma. It was only said according to something that Rav once commented. That's how Rabbi Yehuda was able to extrapolate Rav's opinion. The Rav Ochel Tamri, it was once during the week where Rav was eating dates, v'shod the kasya lebuchya, and he was throwing the pits as he was eating the dates. He was throwing the pits into the furnace to be used as fuel. Amle Rav Chiya bar Pachsi. So Rav Chiya said to Rav, "You choshve individual, kenegda, why would be the halacha if you would do this on yontif? Be yontif osur. On yontif, you would not be allowed to do it, because it would be considered a situation of noilad." That's how Rabbi Yehuda learned that Rav held that Rabbi Yehuda holds this opinion even by the dates. And that's why he was able to say that that is the opinion of Rav. Ask the Gemara, Kibble Minai, But the Gemara's question is, did Rav accept what Reb Chaim said? And did Rav agree with Reb Chaim that if you did this on Yontif, it's Osir, or like Kibla Minei? So way the Ritva learns the Gemara, there's two ways of learning the Gemara. The Ritva learns the Gemara, did Rav accept Reb Chaim's interpretation that the case of dates is a case of a machlokes of Rav on the pits, is a machlokes of Yehuda Reb Shimon? That's one way of learning. The Maram learns that the question is, what was Rav's personal opinion regarding the halacha l'maisim? So is the Gemara, Toshma, the Chiyos Rav l'bovel, once Rav came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Ochle Tamre, v'shad ha'kesh l'chavyusay. It was on Yontif, he ate the dates, and he threw the pits to the animals. My love, aren't we referring to Pepres Yaisam? There's certain pits where the fruit comes off completely from the pits, and there's certain fruits where the fruit does not come off completely. The Gemara is assuming that we're talking about fruit where the whole fruit came off the pit. So that all you have left is the pit. And still Rav gave them to the animals. It's obvious the light kibla. It's obvious the Rav is not of the opinion that this is considered noilet, says the Marloi. That's not the situation. It was talking about Amri Yosai. It's talking about dates that are called Amri Yosai, that the way Rashi explains, they're not completely ripened. And since they're not completely ripened, the fruit and the pit don't completely detach themselves one from the other. And therefore, the pit still has fruit on it. And since the pit has fruit on it, that makes the pit not something that is pure pit. It's fruit, and therefore it's certainly not noilet. Since there's still fruit attached to that pit, so the pit is considered like the fruit, and that's why it's not noilet. But it could be, in a case where you have pits that have no fruit on them, Rav will agree that is considered noilet. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rav Shmuel Babachana L'Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yehuda Dama Masikim B'Kalim. According to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that we've learned, that you're allowed to use Kalim for firewood, B'Ei Masikim Shever Kalim, but if a Kali breaks, you're not allowed to use it. Ask the Gemara, so you're allowed to throw a Kali into a fire. But ask the Gemara, Kivin the Adlik Baporta, as soon as it begins to burn, Havle Shiver Kalim. So obviously the Kali is considered broken. And when you have a fire, you have to, as we keep on learning this parak as well, you have to keep on stoking the fire. And as you're stoking the fire, you keep kamahapach, as you're stoking this fire, you're stoking with a fire which is Shiver Kali. You're not allowed to touch that. Answers the Gemara, Dovakid Rav Masna. What you need to do is, like Rav Masna taught us. I'm Rav Masna, I'm a Rav. Eitzim shenoshim v'toich menadek tana b'yontif. Obviously, wood that's connected to a tree is muksa. What happens if the wood from that tree fell into your fire on yontif? So that wood is muksa. What you're allowed to do is, mar be'eitzim mukhanim, you could put on top of it wood that's good firewood that is designated for firewood, which is obviously not muks on yontif, because on yontif you're allowed to make a fire, umasikon, and like that you could burn them all together. So here too, would you have the shever keli in this fire, have in it other wood, and that other wood is wood that you're allowed to touch, and therefore you don't have a problem that you're stoking and moving muksadiga wood. So we see from here, makes the Rajba point, that there is no Isser of having Hanor from Muksa. The Gemara's entire question is that how am I allowed to move the Shever Keli if it's once it's Muksa? Why doesn't the Gemara ask that I'm having Hanor from the Muksa? Says the Rajba, from here we see that there is no Isser of having Hanor from Muksa. But the Chasam Sofer says, so the Gemara says, how do you avoid the problem? Make sure you have more firewood than Shever Keli wood, and therefore that wood is not muksa. But the Chasam Sofer asks the obvious question. We know throughout the halacha there's a concept of Eim Avatlam Isla Chatchila. You're not allowed to take something that's Osir and make it mutter by adding a roif to it. So the question here is, I want to be able to move the shever keli. Why am I allowed to move it? Because I have more good firewood. I'm not allowed to do that deliberately. And moreover, says the Chasam Soif, especially here, because this is a davar sheyesh lematirin. On yontif, it's muksa. But after yontif, it's not going to be muksa. And we're not allowed to rely on bittel when we could, as the Gemara says in Masechta Beya, atcha techlena be'issa techlena be'atta, wait till after yontif and you wouldn't have any problem. Says the Chasam Soif, quotes a Rashba, that here, the heter is not really based on bottle beroif. There's no issue of bittel here. The issue here is, it just we don't want to look like you're moving muksa. So by having mostly non-muksa wood, it looks like when I'm moving something, I'm not moving muksa. But the concern of bittel doesn't apply in a situation where it happened by itself, especially when it's only a derabbanon, especially when I'm not touching it directly. Rav Hamnuna Amar, we go back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah, when we spoke about the piece of material that was folded and not singed, the Machloikis, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Kiva, if it's Mekabel Tumah, it's not Mekabel Tumah. So Rav Hamnuna has a different way of interpreting that Machloikis. He says, Hocha b'pachs m'sholosh ha'sholosh ha'eskinen. We're speaking about a piece of material that's less than 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim. U'mekulei matloni yishonu kan. And what we're discussing here is there's a special halacha about pieces of material. At what point are they still mekabel tumah, and at what point are they not mekabel tumah? Says the Gemara, V'oz Rabbi Lezer l'tamei v'Rabbi Kiva l'tamei. And Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva are following their opinions that are cited elsewhere. The Tanan, pachs m'shloisha al shloisha. You have a piece of material that's less than 3 tefachim, sheskinu lifkak b'es amerchitz. It was designated to use as a plug, to plug the pipes of a bathhouse. Or anar b'es a container, or you want to hold it when you're holding a hot pot. Or kanech b'es rechayim, you want to use it as a rag to clean the millstone. So says the Mishnah, b'im min amuchen, b'im mishenim min amuchen, and the Gemara is going to focus on those words immediately, tamei. It's susceptible to Kabbalah's tumah. The fact that you want to use it for a purpose, the halacha is the fact that you want to use it for a purpose, even though you originally decided to use it for something insignificant, makes no difference, and it's mekabel tumah. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Shua Omer. Rabbi Shua's opinion is, bein min amuchen, bein shelo min amuchen, it doesn't make a difference if it's muchen or not, tahor. The fact that it was designated for an insignificant use makes that it should not be mekabel tumah. Rabbi Kiva Omer, min amuchan, if it was in a proper storage, then it will be mekabel tumah, even though you had originally designated it for an insignificant use. V'shloi min amuchan, but if it's not min amuchan, since you designated it for insignificant use, it's tar. Everybody agrees, Zorka ba'ashpa, that if you take, because as we keep on learning, when you have something, a piece of material that's less than 3 etzpos, less than 3 tefachim, it's really not choshev. And since it's not really choshev, it shouldn't be really considered something that's mekabel tumah. If, however, you show that it has a significant use, that gives it a chshivas, just like we always learn, since aniyim could use it, it makes it royal kabbalas tumah. But if it doesn't have that, it's not royal kabbalas tumah. Everybody agrees that zorkoi be'ashpa, that if you throw it into the garbage, the ve'akal tar, because if you threw it into the garbage, that shows that it's totally insignificant. And the Chazon Ish says, it doesn't mean that you threw into the garbage. Of course, if you threw into the garbage, then it's insignificant. I intend to dispose of it. Rather, the Chazon Ish says, Zorkal Ashba means that you put it into a place in your house where you keep your junk with things that have no value or put. The fact that you put it in that place is a clear indication that it has no chshivas. And because it's a clear indication that it has no chshivas, the Reakal Tor, it's not mekabel tum anymore. Hanicha bekufso, if you put it into a box, into a chest, even though you had originally decided to use it for insignificant use, then the Reakal Tomei, everybody will agree that it's Tomei. The fact that you put it into in a significant place shows that it's significant to you. Like Nechel Kual Shetol B'Mogad, you hug it on a peg, or Shenichel Echer Adelis, or you put it behind the door. Rabbi Lezer Sov, Middle Ezar Kabashba. Rabbi Lezer's opinion is, the fact that you didn't put it into the garbage shows that elevate. It shows it's significant to you, and therefore it's Mekabel Tuma. Ask the Gemara, for Rabbi Lezer considers this a significant garment, why does he call it Shloimen Amuchen? Shloimen Amuchen means that it's not important to you. Answers the Gemara, Delgabe Kufsa Lav Muchenhu. Putting it on the peg, putting it on behind the door, is certainly less than putting it in the chest. And Rabbi Lezer's point is that even though you didn't put it in the chest, it's still considered significant and still Mekabel Tuma. Rabbi Shua Sava. Rabbi Shua is the opposite. He says, "Midalai nicha bekufso." The fact that you didn't put it into a chest is a clear indication that betulei batlei, that it's insignificant to you. Because if it was important to you, you would have put it into a chest. So then, why is it called muchen? Says the Gemara, "Lagaba ashpa," because it's still better. It's still more. It's still you're still showing it some chshivas by not having put it into the garbage. That's why it's called muchen, but it's not, says Rabbi Yeshua, muchen enough that it should not be, that it should be mekabel tuma. Because in order for it to be mekabel tuma, it has to be put in a chest once you had originally designated it for an insignificant use. Rabbi Kiva makes the following distinction. B'tal b'mogad, if it's hanging on the peg, there he agrees with Rabbi Lezer that shows that it's significant to you and it's mekabel tuma. But nichai chayre delis, but when you put it behind the door, that is a place where you don't put something of significance, and therefore he also could be sure that it's not mekabel tuma. So we see this question about something that was first designated for an insignificant use and then turned into a significant use is actually Machlokes Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer. And he says that's the Machlokes in our Mishnah as well. How do we look at a wick that was made from such a piece of material? But says ultimately Rabbi Kiva agreed with Rabbi Yeshua, and he says that no matter what you did with it, whether you put it on the peg, whether you put it a chayre hadelis, in both cases, it's not susceptible to tuma. Mamai, what makes us say that Rabbi Kiva ultimately completely agreed with Rabbi Shua? Rava, midik tani, when our Mishnah spoke about this case, the Mishnah used the word psilas habeged. So it makes the Gemara the comment. My yiri the tani psilas habeged. Why does the Mishnah use the word a wick made of a garment? Listen, psilas habeged. It should say a wick made from a garment material. My psilas habeged. To teach us that a dying beged, it's still somewhat of a beged. Why is it still somewhat of a beged? Because it has a use. And I didn't completely throw it into the garbage. Still, Rabbi Lezer says, it's still not enough to make it be able to be mekabel tuma. Says the Mishnah, La'ikav Adam shveferes shabeya, a person should not take a hallowed eggshell, v'yemelamenim b'shemen, and fill it up with oil, and this person's going to have a very interesting invention on Shabbos. And what you're going to do is you'll have this eggshell with oil in it drip into your lamp on Shabbos Temen Atefes. But Fila Shecheres, even if this eggshell is made out of earthenware, which gets very dirty, it's usur. We'll explain in a second why. Rabbi Yehuda Mater, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's permissible. Avram chibra hayoytz metchila. If originally you built the lamp this way, then everybody will hold its mutter. Neshek kli echod. It's considered one keli, and since it's considered one keli, we're not concerned that anybody's going to take oil out of a regular lamp. And if this is the way your lamp was created with this reservoir of oil connected to it from the beginning, then there's no issue that it's one keli and nobody's worried that you're going to take oil from it. So we have here a very big machlokes rishonim. Why is this usur according to the Tanakhama? The Rambam holds because it's muksa. The oil is that the oil in this egg is muksa, and we're concerned that people may take out this oil on Shabbos, and they'll be taking oil which is muksa. However, most Rishonim just don't follow the Rambam's opinion. They don't learn that this is an issue, that what we're learning here is an issue of muksa. What they're learning is that this is an issue of kibui. And there's two ways of learning why this is kibui. Tosfos seems to learn that it's when you take, that if somebody's going to take oil from this lamp, it's going to make the candle weaker. And that's why it's considered kibui. It's a very difficult pshat, because if the oil wasn't actually in the lamp that was burning, so then we could understand Tosfos' concern, because you're taking oil out of a burning lamp, and taking out oil from a burning lamp, Tosfos tells us, is considered weakening the candle. Here, as we're learning the case of our Mishnah, the lamp and the oil are separate, so that doesn't weaken the candle. So the pshat that most Rishonim learn with is the pshat of the Rosh. The Rosh's psak is that anything that will cause that the candle should go out quicker is considered gram kibui. And therefore, says the Rosh, that if you take, if there's a certain amount of oil that you have in this contraption, and as the Tashbatz helps us understand this Mishnah, the Talmidei Chachamim wanted to spend the entire Friday night learning. So they didn't have lamps that were large enough to contain enough oil that could burn the entire night. So they came up with this contraption. And now by us being concerned, the Tanakhama being concerned, explains the Rosh, that you may take oil out from that contraption, because you don't look at it as if you're taking it out from a lamp. You're going to cause that the lamp should go out earlier on Shabbos. And that's called Gram Kibui. Rabbi Huda disagrees, because Rabbi Huda's opinion is that just like nobody's going to take out, as we said, oil from a lamp, he says that nobody's going to take out oil from a contraption that's connected to the lamp. So there's a very interesting discussion in the Paiskim. We know that on Yom Tov we're allowed to cook, but the halacha is that Yom Tov you're allowed to cook, but the halacha is that you're not allowed to extinguish fire on Yom Tov. Putting on a fire, I'm cooking with Tzarech HaYechol Nefesh, that I should have cooked food, Baruch Shem Yom Tov. I'm not allowed to extinguish fire. So there's a shaila that many Paiskim discuss. The Machs Avram discusses the shaila. Are you allowed to, on Yom Tov, you finish cooking, so you obviously can't shut the fire, but could you shut the main gas line, and like that, the gas will get disconnected from your oven, and your fire will go out. So, the Shal Satshuvas Machs Avram, in Simen Mem Aleph, says it's exactly the case of our Mishnah, and anything that causes a fire to go out, the Rosh says, as Pshat in our Mishnah, is Gram Kibui, and therefore would be Osir. And that's also the Psak of the Tzitz Eliezer, in Chelek Vav Simf Ches. It's also interesting that Rabbi Chanan in the Kibbutz Shiurim uses this Mishnah to teach us a very important lesson. He says, from this Mishnah we see that in Hilcha Shabbos, a person's machshava is very critical. What do I mean to say with that? What I mean to say, according to Rabbi Chanan, is what is this person doing? What this person is doing is he's making this contraption, and the contraption connects the oil to the lamp. One made it one because I decided that it should be considered one. And the fact that I decided that it should be considered one, that makes it into one. So I saw the Cheshuke Chemed makes a very interesting point. What would be the halacha if somebody set up a menorah for Hanukkah this way, where the oil will drip into the Hanukkah lamps, will for the half an hour, the zman that we discussed earlier in our parak, the amount of time that the menorah has to burn on Hanukkah, will that be good or not? You don't have a lamp with enough oil, but you have it connected. So he says, according to the opinion of the Rosh, that says that they're so connected, that considers them so connected, that the oil and the lamp are considered connected, that if I take out the oil, it's like I'm taking out from that lamp, so then it would be okay for Hanukkah. Otherwise, it probably would not be acceptable for use on Hanukkah. Says the Mishnah further. Lo yimada adam karash l'shamin. A person shouldn't fill up a bowl with oil, and put it next to your lamp. And what you're trying to accomplish is that the wick will draw oil from that bowl of oil. The same concern, because we're concerned that you may take from that oil for your own personal purpose, which, as we're learning now, certainly, according to Rosh, is a situation of gram kibuy or muksa or Tosfos' definition. Rabbi Yehuda, matter. Rabbi Yehuda, again, according to his sheet, holds that it's mutter. Says the Gemara Tzricha, why do we have to have the same machloikis three times in our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, the Yashminish for Ferish Abeya, if we would have only spoken about the case of the eggshell, that's why Bahakam Rabbanan, that's where Chazal were concerned, the Rabbanan, the Tanakam were concerned that you may take the oil. The Kivin Dalami Isa, when the oil is in the eggshell, which is a nice vessel, Asla Stupikamina, you may use that oil for your purposes. You may need some oil on Shabbos and you're going to use that oil. Avashal Cheris, but when the oil is in an earthenware receptacle, and earthenware makes it very repugnant. You won't use it. The Misa, I'm a Maidle Rabbi Yehuda. V'yashminish shel cheres, that's where Rabbi Yehuda, but how come Rabbi Yehuda, that's where Rabbi Yehuda is lenient. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, nobody's going to want to use that oil anyway. Av bahi, but when it's in the eggshell, which is good quality oil, I'm a Maidle Rabbanon, that you're going to use it. So the Gemara says that they argue in both cases. V'yashmin hanach tarti, if we would have only had these two cases, I would say, b'hanach kam Rabbi Yehuda, that's where Rabbi Yehuda is lenient. Meshum delay mifsik, because the reservoir and the lamp are right, it's dripping directly from the reservoir into the lamp. Avokara, when you have the oil in the bowl next to your lamp, the mifsika, so they're not really that connected. There, maybe Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rabbanon that there's a greater concern that I may come to take that oil. And if we only had that case, we would say, Behikam Rabbanon. That's where the Rabbanon are machmer. Abahani Tarti, in the first two cases, maybe they're going to agree with Rabbi Yehuda that since they're so close to each other, nobody's going to take that oil, because just like nobody would take oil out of a lamp. And therefore made the Eben Moedel Rabbi Yehuda Tzricha, that's why we had to have all three cases. Obviously, the Rishonim asked the question that we could have just had the case of Cheres to show how far the Rabbanon are Machmer. We could have had the case of the bowl to show how far Rabbi Yehuda is Makel. And then we don't need the case of the eggshell. So the Tosfos Yontif explains that even that is necessary, because just because Rabbi Yehuda is makel by the bowl doesn't mean he would necessarily be makel by the eggshell, and that's why we had to say both cases. But we learned in the Mishnah, if that's the way this lamp was built, then it's mutter. Tana, im chibra b'sidu b'charsis, if before Shabbos you connected this reservoir with plastic or clay, then the halacha is mutter. But ask the Gemara, Vanan Yoitze Tanan. Then we learn that the person who crafted this lamp crafted it this way. Not that just somebody before Shabbos made this work. My Yoitze, says the Gemara, when the Mishnah said Yoitze, it doesn't mean that it was necessarily built this way. What it means is Ke'en Yoitze, that it's obvious that it's one lamp. When it's obvious that it's one lamp, the problem no longer exists. Tanya. Amr Yehuda Pamachas Shabbosenu Balias Bei Nitza Belud. One time we spent Shabbos in with the family of Beis Nitza in Lud. And they brought this contraption. There was an eggshell full of oil. And they filled it up with oil. And they filled it up with oil and had it drip into the lamp. But we're learning that the Rabbanon hold that it's completely usur. You want to bring a raya from that story? Shani Beis Nitza, you can't bring a raya from that because the Beis Nitza is Riesenheim. They're very scrupulous in doing the mitzvah. So of course, all the Mefarshim ask a question. When Chazal say that something is usur, it's usur for everybody. And we don't make a difference and say, well, they're scrupulous or not. So how come over here did they make this distinction? So the answer is that the Rambam says they saw that nobody over there is going to touch the oil. So since they saw that nobody's going to touch the oil, in a case where it's obvious that nobody's going to touch the oil, like in our world, nobody would necessarily take oil out of a burning candle to use to eat. In such a case, there's no reason to make a gzeira and even the Rabbanan a mekel. Says the Gemara, Avin Sipra Gor Suf Safsla Bimlos de Shesha. Avin of Sifsra pulled a bench on a floor that was made out of marble. Leilim Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar. In front of Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar. Amalei, Ishesukilach, Kedeshesukilach Havrayel Rabbi Yehuda. If I'll be quiet, just like Rav Tarfon was quiet in the story that we just learned, Nafgamei Chorba. It'll be a terrible story. Because as we discussed in the previous year, and now we're going to begin discussing it again, the question is, if you schlep a chair, a bench, on earth, now and you make a hole, so that's also on Shabbos. It's considered like you did Chayrish. But if it's not, if you don't make a hole, it's mutter. But do we make a gzeira even in a place where you're not going to make a hole, because you maybe will do it even in a place where we'll make a hole? And Rabbi Yehuda holds that you never allowed to schlep the bench. Gzeira, Elisa the Shisha, even when the floor is made of marble, it may not be done. Ota Lisa the Alma, because of in Gzeira, where it isn't marble, where it's earth. And the Gemara delves into this question. Reish Kanishta the Batsra Gar Safsla Elim Ramir Miyama. The Gabbai of the Shul in Batsra pulled a bench on unpaved surface in front of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Amalei Kaman, according to whom are you doing what you're doing? You're obviously following the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. As says the Gemara, Eimad Amar Rabbi Shimon, even though Rabbi Shimon obviously takes a lenient approach, and the reason he takes a lenient approach is because it's Dovah Shein Miskavin. That's by Gedolim. When you have a large bench, so it's hard to, by a large object, so it's hard to carry it, So Rav Shimon allows us to schlep it if it's not for sure going to make a hole. But if it's a small object that I could easily carry, will Rav Shimon be lenient? Says the Gemara, Pliga de Ula. And this psak, this position, is conflict what Ula said. The Amu Ula, Machlaikis Bektanim. The Machlaikis between Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon is only by small objects, where Rav Shimon is lenient and Rav Yehuda is Machmer. Av Begdoilim, by large objects, and again, I keep on repeating, provided that it's not a psik resha, provided that it's not for sure that you're going to make a hole, everybody holds its mutter. Ask the Gemara, so Rabbi Yirmiyah holds that Rabbi Shimon is only makel by Gedolim, and Rabbi Yehuda is always machmer, and Ula holds that Rabbi Shimon is always makel, and Rabbi Yehuda is only machmer by Ketanim. Moser Rav Yosef, it says in a brisa, Rav Shimon Omer, Gar Adam Mita Kisv Safsal, a person could schlep a bed, a chair, a bench, as long as you don't intend to make a hole. Ketani Gdoil v'ketani Ketanim. Now, we're talking about big items, a bed, a bench, and we're talking about small items, a chair. And here it says, Rav Shimon is always Mekel, and Rav Yehuda is always Machmer. So this is different than both what Rav Yirmiyah and Ula said. Says the Gemara, Ula Matars Latameh, Ula will reconcile this brisa with his opinion. Rava Metatzel Tamei. Ula Metatzel Tamei, the mita that we're talking about here is Dumya as a Kisei. We're talking about a small bed. And therefore, only a small object is Rav Shimon Gormi Mekel. Rav Yimei Rava Metatzel Tamei, Kisei Dumya the mita, everything is talking about a heavy and bulky object. Masav Rava asks Ravan, it says, regarding shatness, Meichrik Sus, Meichrim Kedarkin. People who are in the business of selling garments could sell their garments in their usual manner, even though they're shatness. Uvachla is kam b'chama b'nei chama. As long as in the summer you're not intending to wear this garment to protect you from the sun, in the winter, ubikshama b'nei gishonim. Tznuim, people who want to be machmer, mafshilim b'makal achareim. They don't put them directly on their shoulders. Says the Gemara. It's mashma that only the tznuim were machmer. V'ha'acha, defshlam evet tznuim. We're learning that according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, where you don't have to come on to a heter, don't come on to a heter. And therefore, if it's a small object, don't drag it on the floor. So everybody should be able to just put it on their shoulder. It should be like ketani. V'chiloi miskaven, and still, the Mishnah says that according to Rabbi Shimon, if it isn't my intention to have anor from the shatness, it's mutal chatchila. So you have to the Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbah, that if it's a dovashayna miskaven, and a dovashayna miskaven is mutter, it's mutter under all circumstances. Tiyufta, and Rabbi Yirmiyah's opinion is refuted, and if it's not going to be a psik reisha, that it's going to make a hole, the halacha is that it's mutter.